Welcome to Elevate. I'm so happy you're here with me today, and I cannot wait to share this episode with you. As an evidence-based coach, mentor, and entrepreneur, I'm obsessed with learning and personal development as it's transformed my entire life, as well as those I get to work with. And to be quite frank, it's literally the entire reason this podcast exists, to fuel your growth, gain perspective, and acquire knowledge. So buckle up, friends, you're in for a treat. And as always, thank you for supporting me and the show so we can continue to elevate our own lives as well as those you share this with. Now, let's get into it. What's going on, friend? My name is Kate Michelle. I'm the CEO and head coach at Level Up Elite Fitness, and I teach habits and skills, not diets and quick fixes. And today, I'm going to make a pretty bold statement, but I think that by the end of this conversation, you will agree with me. And that is that nearly all health outcomes depend on changing behavior, fundamentally so. Now, let me explain and let me break this down. When you have somebody come in, of course, you're teaching them habits and skills and developing them as people, but if the underlying behaviors don't change, the pendulum always swings. When people focus on the surface level stuff and they don't actually learn emotional regulation, cognitive formation, and the ability to tactically build skills over time, they're only focused on one of the levers of motivation and they neglect everything that underlies long-term success. When it comes to managed care, people coming in with diabetes, other comorbidities that we're aiming to help them improve their overall lifestyle, overall behaviors, so that we can drive different outcomes, not just for now, but forever, the underlying pattern that has to change is the overall behaviors that they perform. But changing behavior is really freaking hard. And there are three main conditions that have to be in the right place in order for this to happen. The first one is capabilities. Is this individual physically capable? Do they have the environmental capabilities relative to the context of what they actually live in? And then resource accessibility. What do they have the ability to actually change or improve or remove within their lives to cultivate these transformations over time? The second one, and is one we're very familiar with, is motivation. But there are four underlying layers of motivation and how we can help them leverage that to empower them to make these better decisions and choices over time. And the last one, which is super important, is the actual beliefs that this individual has. And that just doesn't come from what you tell them, but the things that they don't tell you and the personality dimensions that the individual has. And I can get into personality in a different training if you're interested in that. But personality dimensions really make up the different types of people that you're going to work with and effectively how you can communicate and work with them to empower them to drive better outcomes over time. But one of the biggest things that we see that's really difficult is changing bad habits or changing habit loops overall, which really gets into the cognitive and emotional frameworks that we have to be able to have the skill sets to deliver upon to actually help them cultivate long-term transformation. Now, when you have somebody coming in the door, one of the most important things to drive is actually where they want to be, not where we want them to be, but where do they want to go with this? What is it going to help them do? And one of the biggest levers that you can pull as far as supporting the individual to drive the outcomes that they say that they want is leveraging a tier of motivation that most people don't talk about, but is going to move mountains for the individual and for yourself. And that's ideology. Now, we don't want to brainwash people with ideology and stuff, but underlying ideology is values. And values are not just perceived values, but embodied values. And when people actually have strong values, not that they just say to you, but actually live out, that can be one of the largest catalysts that we move mountains with as far as them moving in the right direction and changing their overall behavior. But even just stating that is not easy because perceived values are different than embodied values. People say all the time that they believe in things, that they support things, that they value things. But when push comes to shove, their behavior doesn't actually embody that, right? It doesn't show you those things. Behavior embodied values are what we want to drive them to change. And so one of the first things that I roll out when I'm working with a new client is something called a conscious values assessment. This is where I will break down, and if you want a pen and paper, please grab one. But you're going to want to ask them, what are their big four values? Usually four or five. Too many is just going to convolute the process. But what actual things do they value as an individual? Their highest self, the version of them that they want to become. If we're painting a vision of what their life looks like, what person they are, again, underlying identity, which is stacked underneath values. What are those things that this person values the most? What do they embody? And they'll tell you four things that they want to value. Okay, cool. The first assessment that you want to run is how they believe on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being trash and 10 being godlike, how do they embody these values for other people? And what you will find is that their scores are relatively moderate or high. I'm really good at being compassionate. I'm really good at showing up and following through. I have integrity. Awesome. You tell other people you're going to do stuff, you do it. But the next category is actually the real category and the most important one. And that is, how do you embody these values for yourself? Do you have integrity with yourself? Do you follow through on the things that you say that you want to do? Are you compassionate towards yourself? Or do you ridicule yourself when you don't have a perfect week and then you self-sabotage out of shame and guilt because you've already failed? You might as well keep going because diet starts tomorrow. And you'll see that underlying all of these behaviors is emotional triggers and cognitive reinforcement. All of the negative Nancy's or the shitty committee upstairs that tells us all these awful things about ourselves, which amplifies the emotion. And then even though it's irrational, we behave in certain behavioral patterns because they have a reward, either escaping the emotion and providing some level of dopamine, or at least providing a more positive emotion or escaping the negative thing that we feel. But you can see how that pattern plays out over time. When you wake up the next day because you feel guilt and shame because Ben and Jerry's residue is on your shirt and it's mocking you, you feel bad. And what have these people learned as far as a habit loop that alleviates that bad feeling? Another dose of dopaminergic activity. And so it can perpetuate these cycles over time. And even though cognitively and rationally they know these things are not good for them, changing that behavior is really freaking difficult. And so you want to do is map out this conscious values assessment, but that there's another layer to this, which is the subconscious values assessment. This is why we can say it's really important to exercise or strength train and pay attention to my diet. But as soon as somebody, I call this a stakeholder, but somebody who has value in their lives, so their partner, their best friends, invites them out for drinks, they do value this and they do know that not drinking would be good for them, but they cave because subconsciously they have a belief that making sure everybody else is okay or this person's opinion of them matters more than their goals or even their opinions of themselves. And so a lot of these things that we're going to map out as far as skill development are actually cognitive reframes. But one of the things that I see most often communicated to clients is that they need more discipline and more willpower. Now, discipline is a skill. It is not some inherent character trait that we all have. It's the ability to separate thoughts and feelings from our behaviors without compartmentalizing or pushing off, avoiding or escaping the emotional experience that they're having. Every feeling that we have is valid. And two things can be true at the same time. This is one of the things as far as a mental matrix that's really hard for people to actually understand and accept. I'll give you a story to make this point. I dated somebody who I genuinely freaking loved. I thought he was great, but he wasn't good for me. And so when I walked away from that relationship, I was heartbroken. I was sad. I loved this person. And so you have this inner conflict of like, I love them. So maybe I should work it out. Maybe I should reach out to them. Maybe I should stay connected, right? We have all these thoughts because we try to emotionally reason the feeling that we have to mean something needs to change as far as the decisions that we've made. But that's where we go wrong. I can feel sad about the breakup that happened while also understanding that that was the best decision I could have made for myself. That was the right choice. And so when people get into these spaces of, I understand this behavior would be good for me, but this person being disappointed in me is bad. And so maybe me doing what appeases them is the right thing to do. We invalidate the second truth because mentally we can't shift the paradigm to understand that these two things can be true at the same damn time. And so some of the things that you're going to have to work with people to do is reframe the irrational thinking models that they have as far as catastrophizing things or emotional reasoning, black and white, or all or nothing thinking, to understand that there's truth to both sides of the coin. Yes, not doing things consistently over time is not going to allow you to drive results that you want. But getting into an all or nothing mindset where you self-sabotage to take on 3,000 calories every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night because you had a hard week is also not good, right? So we can't get into, oh, I've had one bite, now I need a blowout because it's all or nothing. But understanding that we want to decrease the frequency in which we're engaging with that behavior while also understanding it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. Because if you were just consistent, even within 100 to 150 calories plus or minus, that still negates the 3,000 calories you're having Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which is going to drive positive results on the other side, objectively. But this is where working with them, understanding what their core beliefs are, not their stated beliefs are, is going to help you not only understand them better, but help them move through some of the irrational beliefs, thoughts, or narratives that they embody, because this inner critic is going to be
debilitating to them over the course of their journey if we cannot address both the cognitive and the emotional cycles that people, as complex beings as we are, all go through. So understanding that these things, as far as discipline, are important, but telling people their feelings don't matter or to work harder, nobody cares. Telling somebody who already is insecure and probably believes that they're not enough, that nobody cares, is not reinforcing positive behavior outcomes. It's just getting them to negate their feelings, avoid them, and try to escape them through validating something outside of them. And if a transformation does not sustain itself, unless the motivation is intrinsic to the person, not reliable on external validation. Stroking someone's ego, telling them that they did a good job only because they've checked the boxes while they're sacrificing their home life, their spouses, their work life, their children. That is not some type of behavior that we want to reinforce with positive reinforcement. And so understanding what motivates people can help you move mountains for them. I said ideology, which is the biggest one, but people are also motivated by a few other things that you should understand just for the sake of your understanding. Reward, which again, positive reinforcement with rewards. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I can stay motivated throughout this diet because I will lose 20 pounds in the end, right? They're working towards this reward. However, if they only focus on the reward and they don't have the values or the ideology that they want to embody based on their beliefs and what they need to believe or want to believe for their outcomes overall, for the vision that they have in their life, without that underpinning, they are going to allow the pendulum to swing once again. And then they repeat these dieting cycles over and over and over again until they develop this core belief that dieting is a lifestyle. Dieting and counting calories and restricting food is a need. It's a necessary path to walk because of all of their past experiences have told them this, when really the problem is that they haven't developed and shaped their values to integrate into their identity, into a way of being. So when it comes to discipline or breaking a bad habit, what I want you guys to understand is that willpower is not the way. And if you know this about people that you've worked with, you tell them to restrain themselves, to restrict themselves from the cake. But that's not the best way to go. And the reason why people struggle to do it, even though they know they shouldn't be doing it, is because they don't have a strong enough connection between the habit loop circuitry and their frontal lobes. Your frontal lobes are trying to put the brakes on the habit loop being activated, and you run into this wall, which amplifies negative emotion. And when we talk about addicts or people that kind of have these autopilot moments, people that will come to you and be like, I don't know what happened last night. I woke up and the whole thing was gone. The ice cream pint was gone. Ben and Jerry's totally scarfed it down. What happens is people who behave in these certain circuitries of habit loops is that they are not good at understanding their own internal state of emotions. And because they've learned to suppress them, compartmentalize them, or they don't matter, they don't ever tune into what's actually going on. Instead, use a means of escape, which activates any type of regular or addictive behavior, like emotional eating or any type of alcohol or addiction. Most of those people, again, they'll tell you, if you've ever worked with one, and I have in clinics, they'll be like, I don't know what happened. It just happened. It just all or nothing. And it's because, again, they don't have that sense of their emotional state. And they've been taught or learned to avoid that behavior by using some type of escape. And because these behaviors have some type of utility, again, even if logically they know, because these people know, they're not stupid, okay? They know these behaviors are maladaptive to long-term health, to longevity. And it's not that they are stupid or they don't know, they absolutely do. But reinforcing more discipline and more willpower is actually not the way to help them change this. And so what we want to do, instead of reinforcing restraint, that leads to the black and white thinking or the all or nothing thinking that we're trying to avoid them getting into in the first place. And so we can't have one trade-off for another one. We need to learn that they don't have to actually compromise, especially if you're a coach, and I'm projecting my own beliefs here, but I don't like to demonize any type of food. Food is not good or bad. Again, seeing it as black and white is not healthy or useful, but instead these things are options. And what we want to help them build as far as a skill is a skill of awareness, because most people will eat distracted, especially with the pressure of the culture that we live within to constantly produce and do more and work more and do more work and achieve more. All of that being instilled in the way that we function leads us to eat distracted most of the time, or on the go, or grab and go. We don't really put any thought or intention into what we're eating, how it tastes, how full or hungry that we might be. And so we just keep running through this matrix. And so one of the skills that we want to help clients build is actually awareness. And instead of telling them they can't have something, we want them to be completely present with the thing. This will help to reinforce that what was once a paper straw that you got from Starbucks that gets soft in your mouth into something that is a stronger neural connection where you can actually leverage willpower when necessary to overcome more catastrophic emotional stimuli, which inevitably we will all experience in life. Because while we work to build up their ability to overcome sadness or a frustrating day or anger or sorrow, any type of emotion that they might feel on a regular basis, when something catastrophic happens in their life that is not predictable, because we can't predict it, though we know inevitably we'll all lose somebody, something catastrophic might happen with an interpersonal relationship or marriage, we don't anticipate those things happening on a regular basis, or we don't see them happen all the time. And so it's not something that we're actively training for. We're not actively building up the emotional resilience. And also, we want to be able to allow people to process that. Again, what you resist will persist, and emotions that you allow to bottle up over time will bottle up until you explode. And that's where really maladaptive behaviors can happen, or really aggressive behaviors can happen that put people in a worse position with their health or somebody else's health in the long term. And so emotional processing is a skill that we want to help them develop. But when it comes to awareness, we want them to have permission to engage. We don't want to say, no, you can't have that. You got to stop doing that. Reinforcing that is only going to reinforce guilt and shame in the aftermath, because people aren't perfect, especially if people have these behaviors that have been there for a really long time. If they identify as an emotional eater, then telling them you can't emotionally eat, it's like, excuse me, that's the one coping mechanism I have. And even though logically I know that that's not good for me, the internal alarm is going to sound and they are going to self-sabotage that. Instead, the goal is to cultivate and train them to, hey, you can eat that, totally fine. If you really want it, check in, see how you feel. And then I want you to sit down and be present with it fully, undistracted, no TV, no TikTok, no Instagram, none of that stuff, but actually enjoy it. What happens 99% of the time is either they realize they don't even like it, or they were full and didn't finish it, or they had it, enjoyed it, guilt-free. Those are all way better outcomes than reinforcing negative feelings or coping mechanisms that manifest as a behavioral pattern because in hindsight they feel guilt and shame because they couldn't deploy more willpower or discipline in those moments. It's not healthy and it's not useful. Over time, what you'll notice as far as the behavioral changing, the behavioral changes that they'll make is that they do these things less frequently and the gravity or the amount of the food that they eat is also less. So empowering people to be conscious and aware of the decisions that they make is the best practice because it leverages a different part of the brain for them to be able to enhance the skill of awareness. The same thing that you can build as far as changing the consequences of engaging in certain behaviors. So in current society right now, what we find is most people are focused on instant gratification. They feel bad. They don't understand how to regulate or give themselves what's underlying those negative feelings. Most of the time it's a need. Comfort, connection, peace, quiet, a place to escape, right? Just a moment to breathe, especially if you work with moms who are also working. They will always struggle to set boundaries for themselves, which is a skill they can cultivate and develop, right? Personal respect. They can learn to say no. Most women, if you work with women, they will struggle to say no. They will struggle to set boundaries. And so being able to deploy a framework for understanding, okay, what is the purpose of this boundary? What is it not only going to give you, but what is it going to give the other person? And then working through with them how to say this stuff, how to have that conversation, how to lead that conversation so you're not attacking people, you're not assuming things about people, you're not being reactive. But instead, we've thought through where we want to be on the other side of this confrontation, where we want to go to with this person to come together and say, okay, I can totally respect that boundary. And it makes sense that you're going to show up better, more energized, less stressed. I want that for you. I'm all in. And it empowers them to be able to say, holy shit, my life didn't fall apart. It's okay for me to say no to things, which carries over not just into food or going out or drinking or whatever it might be that they're struggling with, but their lives overall, because now they can value that time. And because they can now experience that time where they can reset and create space for themselves, they see the benefits of doing it, which is going to enhance the ability for them to have that type of reward, understanding the pros versus the immediate cons and catastrophizing of, oh my God, they're going to hate me, I'm going to get fired, all these negative things that we tend to go to the most extreme negative. Now they can see, okay, that was actually really helpful. And people are saying, I'm showing up better and have more energy. I'm more patient with my kids. I'm not lashing out at my spouse. And they can start to reap the rewards of engaging this with this behavior because the way that they approached it was the best way to approach it for them and what their needs were, and learning how to communicate those things in the first place. So when it comes to delaying gratification, most people will come in or they'll have an experience where they cave to their cravings. And on the other side of that, they'll say, it just felt good, or I felt like taking a rest day, or I didn't feel like working out, or I didn't want to track. All of those, again, things that they feel inside, not knowing how to manage those feelings and work through them in a way or a behavior that benefits them. And so learning how to reframe this as, okay, well, I know that that was easy to make in the moment and it felt good in the moment, but how did that make you feel in the aftermath? Really disappointed. Okay, well, if we continue to do this, how do you think you're going to feel 6 months from now? Do you think you're going to continue to make progress? Do you think you're going to be grateful for all those things? Or do you think that maybe the trade-off, the juice, isn't worth the squeeze in that moment? Yeah, I actually really want to learn to do that. And what you'll find by talking to people, this is why I have calls with my clients, is that it's never the thing that they identify. It's usually 3 or 4 layers deeper than that. And so understanding that, oh, last time I said no to a friend and I didn't want to go out, they stopped being my friend. Or there was an experience that they had that shaped the way that they perceive themselves in the world, in their core beliefs. Your core beliefs will always drive your behavior. And so understanding what is making that up, and then saying, well, what do you want? Do you even know what you want? Do you understand the needs that you have? Do you know how to communicate those things? You will see similar behavioral patterns over and over again until you can address the underlying skill that they don't have. Everything is skill development. Every maladaptive behavior is usually an outlet or an escape to make up for a skill that we don't have. Right? If you have anxiety or you're overly aggressive, you don't have emotional regulation skills and you don't know how to communicate them, so you lash out at people. Or if you have high anxiety, you usually catastrophize because you have so many options and so many decisions to make that you can't make any of them. And you don't want to disappoint anybody because you value other people's perceptions and opinions of you more than you value your own. And so it becomes a catastrophic internal feeling. But when you teach them that physiologically anxiety is the same experience as excitement without breath, then you can deploy breathing practices, which brings their internal state down, allows their amygdala to calm down, and then they can activate their prefrontal cortex and think through, okay, what is the next best action step for me to take? And so while we're focused on macros and fitness and training and all the surface level stuff, and I get it, it's important for them to know how to do that stuff, what they're really missing and why long-term success is not coming along is because people don't integrate values and focus on identity. And I know identity has become a buzzword, but truly it is living out the values that you have identified mean something to you as the individual. And it's our job as coaches to be able to empower that by developing skills, critical thinking skills, emotional regulation skills, the ability to validate your feelings without trying to escape them by doing, right? Some of the most successful people in the world, you would have no idea how emotionally dysregulated they are or just disconnected because they haven't been taught to validate their feelings. They don't know how to feel them and they value themselves based on what they can do. And hi, it's me. I was a Division I athlete and I pursued all of that until I tore my knee. And you want to know what was left after that? Rock bottom my life, because I didn't know who I was outside of what I did. And these types of skills have not only changed my life, but changed the way that I could help and serve people. But so much of the time we're focused on prescriptions of fitness, prescriptions of exercise, prescriptions of macros, instead of focusing on better behaviors around food, better behaviors around movement, better behaviors around emotional regulation, better communication skills. And I understand not everybody wants to do that, and that's absolutely fine. But ensuring that we've set people up with nothing else, good behavioral patterns where they don't build a codependent relationship with a tracking app or a fitness trainer or a workout program, they should know how to work out. Now, if they know how to work out and they still want to pay for services, that's absolutely fine. But what I find from a lot of people is they don't know how to do anything. They know what to do, but they don't know how to do it. And so in order to bridge the gap from intention to action, we have to build skills. We have to understand where the gap is in their skill development. And then we have to give them tactical work that's not necessarily doing, but more so investigation, reflection, reframing, to build better coping mechanisms. Because there's 3 layers of coping. There's emotional, right? That's where most people will escape their problems, right? And then there's problem and solution focused, which is cognitive. And then the third and the highest level is being able to integrate, validate your feelings, think through how to solve these problems, find meaning in the problem instead of kind of allowing it to be debilitating to you, but thinking about where's the opportunity in this for me to grow and how this aligns with my vision to be able to troubleshoot and think clearly what is the next best action step for that individual to take. And so a lot of the things that I am hopeful that more people get comfortable with is understanding that while we have the tools to coach and we know what works, calorie deficits, right, strength training, building a schedule, it's so much deeper than that if we actually want to build long-term transformations and make a difference in the industry when it comes to long-term success, because a before and after picture is amazing. I love that for everybody. I think that's fantastic. But nothing really changed if you didn't keep it after the after photo. And that comes down to values, identity, building systems that work, teaching habits, reframing, working on the cognitive and the emotional, as well as the behavioral. All of those elements are what's going to drive long-term sustainable change. And if you have more questions on any of this, I do have a ebook that I kind of broke down some of the things that I use within our business that I'm more than happy to send out to people who would be interested in seeing how I break that down tactically and how I would describe it. I'm playful. I cuss sometimes. I hope you're not offended by it. But I'm hopeful that I have convinced you that while, yes, we can focus on what to eat, what your macros are, what delicious high protein recipes there are, that we can also drive some maladaptive behaviors around obsessive and compulsive tracking or feeling anxious about not hitting your steps or not getting a workout in, and building these codependent relationships with all these things to validate whether you've done a good or bad job or you're a good or bad person or you will succeed or fail is not driving good cognitive focus, not driving overall perspective of life, and tends to lead to some disordered patterns in life over a long period of time. Empowering the client to make decisions based on what is best for them instead of what we want to be best for them is the catalyst for empowering them to think through and make decisions, but also keep the transformations that we want them to fucking keep. Because at the end of the day, everybody deserves to have a healthy and fit lifestyle. Everybody deserves to be strong, fit, and free. And I am hopeful that I've changed your mind. But if not, I'll do better next time. I'll catch you guys next time. And if you have any questions or you'd like to see a resource, I'm more than happy to send one over if it would help you. Bye.